Thank God. Testing, 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 testing. Amen. Thank our praise team for leading us tonight. It's good to see everybody here this evening. And let me give some pre-announcements before we get started. I want to remind our ladies that, particularly members of our church, we're full with our registrations in-house, but we do have registration online, so you can still be part of the Desperate for Jesus Women's Conference. If you go to our church website and go online for the Desperate Jesus Conference, you can register there and still enjoy it online. We already have over 3,200 women signed up to come here live, but we need a... So we need 40 men to help out with the ladies' conference. So we need 40 kingdom men to help out with the ladies' conference. So there's a table in the back, and I know we got 40 good men here who will volunteer some time to serve our ladies. So if you will do that. Couples, we have a prom night coming up. You can go back to old school, back to the day, and it's a prom night on August 6th, but you can go online and sign up for that right now, so feel free to do that. Some people who have been asking about can they get this teaching on Wednesday night, you can get it online, the audio online, ocbfchurch.org/Wednesday, and you can get the audio online. We pray from 6:30 to 7, but tomorrow night is fight night. And so I'll be online at 8 o'clock with our prayer team, and I'll invite you to join us. We have around 300 people who get with us every week and pray, and I'd love for those of you who haven't been on for that 1 hour, 8 to 9, you can go online, and I'll give you the information and be part of our fight night. Before we get into our study for tonight, let me answer a couple of questions that we have. I'm kind of doing the questions to basically how they relate. One, we're going to talk about the Antichrist now. Is the Antichrist already on earth? I don't have the slightest idea. Okay. We're going to talk about him tonight, but he could be. He could be, and I'll explain why, but nobody knows because he won't be revealed until it's the right time. So I answered the question about the Wednesday night. You can get the audio on that. Let's see, another question related to tonight. Christians disagree about the time of the rapture, and they use Bible verses. If you recall, talked about the rapture being at the end of the church age. We're in the church age. That when the church age ends, the tribulation begins. Next week, the subject is the tribulation. We'll have something special for you next week related to the tribulation. But next week is the tribulation. Why do we say and argue that the rapture precedes the tribulation? One, because the tribulation is a time of wrath. And as we said, 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says that Christians have not been appointed under wrath. Second reason is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 when it talks about the rapture. We looked at that last time, verses 13 to 18. It then says in chapter 5, then the day of the Lord will come, which is the tribulation. So it's the rapture in chapter 4, and then he goes to chapter 5. Now, to be honest, there are Christians who do believe that the rapture happens in the middle of the tribulation, and I'll kind of give you an explanation of why they believe that. But because of the distinction between Israel and the church is the parenthesis in God's program, and we showed you last time, he's going to pick up that program with Israel beginning in the tribulation. Since the church is not part of that, it will be taken out of the earth and raptured up to heaven. So those are some of the key reasons for that. The last question is the gift of prophecy. Is it working today? How is it to be validated today? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 to despise not the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is referring to as a gift being able to speak God's truth personally into a situation. Biblical prophecy is being able to do that and predicting the future. The gift of prophecy is being able to speak God's word to a personal situation, which is what the prophets did. And God does give people gifts like that to be able to do that. But it is true that gift does not get recognized at the level that it should. When you hear people speak God's truth into your personal situation, whether individual or family, or it could be even the church, I've had words spoken to me that were true to the scripture, but were personal to the situation. And when you do that, the Bible says, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. At the least, you investigate it. And you pray and ask God, was that from you? But you don't ignore it if it's relevant to you and it's true to scripture. Okay? You ask God to confirm it and that kind of thing. So those are just some of the questions for tonight. But feel free to send questions and we'll try to answer them as best we can. Father, we pray that you will bless our time tonight and you will cause us to understand the world dictator that is to come, the Antichrist, and to respond in light of the truth of Scripture with regard to his presence in history. In Jesus' name, amen. There are events or context or circumstances that bring people to prominence in history. When Rosa Parks did not sit, refused to give up her seat on the bus, leading to the Montgomery boycott, which led to the emergence of Martin Luther King for the civil rights movement. That event led to a series of events that led to the emergence of a personality, okay? When World War I ended and the Depression hit, the world was in economic chaos and confusion. Europe was particularly, well, everybody was, but Europe was in particular disarray. In the context of Europe and the Depression, the economic situation, the cataclysmic confusion coming after World War I, there arose Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler arose with this charismatic personality that provided a economic plan to stabilize Europe, combined with a hatred of the Jews, and calling to German pride, okay, the superior race, and he galvanized a whole nation that sought to take over the whole world. His famous statement was, today Europe, tomorrow the world, okay? So it was the circumstances after World War I that created the environment for the rise of that particular evil leader. It's the same thing after 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution gave rise to Lenin, which led to Stalin and the rise of communism. So events in history give rise to personalities that ascend in the midst of those events. The events in history will give rise to the greatest dictator that has ever walked the planet. On the evil side, of course, Jesus is the greatest person, but in terms of the greatest dictator that ever walked the planet, and that dictator is known in the Bible as the Antichrist. There will be a number of factors that will lead to the rise of the Antichrist. First of all, the rapture. When the church is raptured, you can imagine the chaos that would be on the planet when Christians are removed and caught up. That is total destabilization of everything. Okay. The second thing in Matthew 24 talks about there would be famine and wars and all kind of cataclysmic events in the culture, in nature, that will be taking place simultaneously. So the world will be in chaos, and they will look for a solution which will give rise to this figure the Bible calls him many names, we'll see some of them in a moment, the Antichrist. So our subject tonight is the Antichrist. So there are a number of things we want to look at, because there's so much we can go over. I'll tell you about a resource in a moment at the end of our time together. But first of all, I want to look at the context of the Antichrist. The Antichrist arrives after the rapture, and he comes as the answer to the international crisis and the Mideast conflict. So he comes after the rapture in this chaos that will be in the world, and he is going to come and rise in the midst of this chaos. The chaos you're seeing today, notice, is becoming more and more worldwide. It's not just localized. It's not just the United States. It's affecting the whole world. The battle with Russia and Ukraine is affecting oil. It's affecting wheat. It's affecting chain supplies. Now, I'm not saying this is that event. It could be. We don't know. But there will be a worldwide destabilization calling for an answer, giving rise to a personality that we call the Antichrist. I'm going to start in Daniel chapter 7 on this particular point. Verse 7, after this, I kept looking in the night, visions. Daniel is looking, is giving a prophetic vision. And behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong. And it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder of its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little horn, came up among them. And three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth, and a mouth uttering great boast. To make a long story short, Daniel is seeing a number of beasts referring to civilizations that would come. That would be Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. He says, out of this fourth beast, this grandiose civilization that was huge, would come 10 horns, or 10 other bodies would come out of this one, all right? This is the breakup of the Roman Empire. When the Roman Empire broke up, it broke up into 10 different directions. You can look at your war history on this. Daniel doesn't see all the particulars we know today because we can look back. He's looking forward. He says, of the 10, three emerged to be stronger and greater. He says, but three of the first horns were, verse 8 says, a little horn, something inferior, came up, rose up out of this empire with the eyes of a man. Okay? Verse 18, of still in chapter 7. He says, I desired, verse 19, to know what did all this mean, talking about the fourth beast, he says. I wanted to try to understand this, which devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder of its feet. It became dominant. And the meaning of the 10 horns that were on the head of the other horn, which came up, and this will you'll get this clarified as we go along, before which three of them fell, namely, that horn which had the eyes and a mouth uttering great boast and which was larger in appearance than its associates. So it started out as a little thing, but it had the eyes of a man and it spoke. And it became bigger and bigger and bigger and began to dominate all the others, okay? I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them. until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints. Of course, that's the return of Christ, but Daniel is projecting in the future. The fourth beast, verse 25, will be a fourth kingdom on the earth. So now we know a beast, the beast is a kingdom, okay? Which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth. Well, when Rome ascended, Rome was the world power at that time and tread it down and crushed it. As for the 10 horns out of this kingdom, 10 kings. So we know the horns are referring to kings. 10 kings will arise and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue the three kings. So you got this big beast with these 10 horns, sub-nations, the breakup of the Roman Empire, which means Europe. Three emerge, but one of them becomes dominant, okay? So this one takes over. Now, you have in Europe today NATO. You have in Europe today the European Union. And what is NATO and what is the European Union? They are the reconstituting of Europe. They are reconstituting, trying to unify Europe, because this one that speaks like a man is coming out of this fourth beast, which was Rome, which broke up, and now they're trying to come together, okay? Militarily, that's NATO, and then politically and economically, well, that's the European Union. So all of this coming together is biblical history, but of course Daniel is hearing it being described in language of a beast. And he says the beast is a nation. So we're getting interpretations as we go along. Now, if you go to chapter, let's go to the New Testament, Second Thessalonians, chapter 2. Okay, because the New Testament explains in more detail the Old Testament. We read this, we concluded with this last time, we're going to pick it up today. I'll go there. This is the character. We're going to look at the character of the Antichrist, okay? Number two, the character of the Antichrist, he is a world leader who is the physical incarnation of Satan on earth, okay? The character, he is the physical incarnation of Satan on earth. Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God. The Antichrist is the incarnation of Satan. Because we're going to now begin introducing you to the unholy Trinity. Remember, Satan tries to replicate God. So he's going to try to replicate the triune God by incarnating himself in a man. And that man is not Christ, it's the Antichrist. He's the one against Christ, okay? Because this whole system is set up against Jesus Christ. So, there is this description of this man. He says, now we request you, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to him, which is the rapture, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed, either by a spirit or a messenger or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already come. Okay, watch this. The day of the Lord is the tribulation. He says, about our gathering up to him, the rapture, I don't want anybody to fool you to think we're already here in the tribulation. He says, I don't want you to think we're there. Why would they think that? Because they were going through hard times. So they're saying, we're going through hard times, we must be in a tribulation. He says, I don't want y'all to be confused about our gathering unto him as though we were already in the tribulation. He says, let no one deceive you, for it will not come. This tribulation will not come unless the apostasy comes first. Something happens before that. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. So now the Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness. Why? because he follows nobody's rules but his own. So he's called the man of lawlessness. The rules will not apply to him, and for good reason, as we'll see in a moment. He is called the son of destruction. Now, if you're the son of somebody, you got a daddy, okay? You're going to find out who his daddy is in a moment. But he's called the son of destruction, okay? Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship. So just like Hitler exalted himself, you know how Hitler, the Führer, you know, he exalted himself and he became an object of worship in Germany. And as they defeated Poland and the different European states before Germany was defeated, because if you were growing up back then, you thought Hitler was the Antichrist. If you were a Christian back then in the 30s and 40s, you thought Hitler was the Antichrist because he was portraying himself to be a god. Well, that's what the Antichrist does. He portrays himself to be God and an object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So the Antichrist is going to posture himself as God. Okay, watch this now. Who did Jesus declare he was? God. He declared he was God. He says, he said, I am the offspring of deity. Okay? So this is what the Antichrist. So he's reduplicating Christ. It says he's going to sit in the temple. Well, that's where Jesus was. He went to the temple. Okay? You're going to see in a moment, he's going to die and rise again. What did Jesus do? He died and rose again. So all of this is reduplicating Jesus Christ. Okay? But he's the Antichrist. Do not remember that while I was sitting with you, I was telling you these things. And you know what restrains him now, which is the church, the Holy Spirit through the church, so that in his time he will be revealed. In this his time, he will be revealed. One of the questions tonight was, is the Antichrist alive? And the answer is, he could be, but he will not be known until it's time to be revealed. Because remember, he starts out as a little horn. Insignificant. Nobody knows who he was. You didn't know who Hitler was until circumstances brought him to power. You didn't know who Martin Luther King was on the positive side until circumstances brought him to power, okay? So at the right time, when all the things hit just right, he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness, okay, this thing that was unclear in the Old Testament that he's making on the New Testament is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed. So the lawless one will not show up until the church is removed. Okay? Then, after the restrainer is taken out of the way. Another reason why we believe in the pre-tribulational rapture. Okay? And that is that the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, which dwells in the church, the Bible calls the church the temple of the Spirit, at the end of Ephesians chapter 2, when the restrainer is moved, then he would be real. So he could be walking around on earth right now, insignificant. Nobody knows who he is, and it won't be revealed because God's presence is still too strong because of Christians on earth. But when the rapture occurs and God's presence is removed directly through his people being here, then he will come into ascendancy. And he will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring an end by the appearance of his coming. This is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. Ah, now we know who his daddy is. He comes with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. So this is showtime, because he's going to put on a show. How did Jesus validate that he was the Son of God? Signs and wonders. Healing the sick and the blind and the lame and raising people from the dead. Signs and wonders. He told John the Baptist, John says, are you the one we're looking for? John, Jesus sent back and said, the blind see, the lame walk. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He says, I'm validating by my works. I am who I say I am. Well, the Antichrist, with the power of the devil, is going to let you know he's worthy to be worshipped as God. And he's going to be energized by the devil. Verse 10, with all deception of wickedness. For those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, so as to be saved. Okay? Let's look a little bit more at him. Revelation chapter 13. The character of this beast. Revelation 13. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Okay, and who is the dragon? Look at chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. So the dragon is the devil. So back to chapter 13. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns. Oh, well, we're in Revelation, but he's talking about Daniel. Because we saw that in Daniel chapter 7. Having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, kings, crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names, okay? So he is ruling Europe. He is ruling. He has ascended like Hitler did. He has ascended, and he's ruling the horns who are wearing the crowns. So he's ruling the rulers of the nations that are coming out of this dispersed Roman Empire. So he has emerged, like Hitler, as the dominant figure in Europe, okay? And the beast, which I saw, was a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So he's a leopard. He moves swiftly. Okay? He's a bear. So he is full of strength. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. He is roaring. His mouth is speaking with controlling authority. And the devil is giving him his power. Okay? So this is the ferocious beast. Powerful, but no conscience. He's the lawless one. He's the son of destruction. He is the world dictator coming out of this fourth empire, which is the empire that broke into the 10 nations, which is Europe. Okay? So, we find out now, we go to the conduct. The conduct of this beast. Okay, now, let's go back to Daniel. We're going a little back and forth here. Let's go back to Daniel, who's prophesying forward. Chapter 8. He says in verse 9, out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the beautiful land. Beautiful land is Israel. Let's go to verse 23. In the latter period of their rule, when the transgressor had run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. He gonna blow your mind. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. And he will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people, Israel. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. So this will be an influential personality. And he will use his military might and his skill of communication. So this conduct is he will use power and deception to entice the entire world to follow Satan and advance Satan's kingdom. Now remember, In Isaiah chapter 14, the first 12 verses, you can read it. Satan five times says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And all of those I wills boil down to one thing. I'm going to build my own kingdom. I'm going to rule this thing. Okay? So powerful was Satan that Revelation 12 says he took one third of the angels with him. One third of the myriad millions of angels went with him. That's how powerful this created being was. Now you can see why God hates it when he sees men trying to build their own kingdoms. Because what we're doing when we try to build kingdoms independently of God is joining Satan's rebellion. Okay? Because that's what he was doing. He was rebelling. So we joined the against Christ group. Okay? Because that's where the battle is between Christ and the anti-Christ, the against Christ group. So he is doing this. So let me bounce forward again to Revelation chapter 13. Verse 5. Well, let me start with verse 4. Well, let me start with verse 3. Because there's so much here. I saw one of his heads as if they had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. Did you see that? If your wounds are fatal, you're killed, right? That's what a fatality is, all right? He has a fatal wound, but whatever the wound was gets healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after him. Well, if you know somebody is dead, and you got on CNN, MSNBC, NBC, Fox News, social media, and now it's on video cam, and you can see him get up from the dead, well, now all of a sudden you believe in anything else he says if he pulls this one off. So what you have is an imitation resurrection. Okay? Caused by the devil. Okay, so the devil can do some tricks. Okay? So you got an imitation resurrection. They worship the dragon. The dragon is the devil. Well, if the devil made you rise from the dead, you're going to think the devil is legitimate. So the devil brings the beast back to life. The whole world sees the beast come back to life. So then they're worshiping the devil. Okay? Because he gave his authority to the beast. The Father gave his authority to the Son. Jesus says that the authority was given to me by the Father. The devil gives his authority to the beast, which is the Antichrist. And they worship the beast. Well, wait a minute now. They worship the dragon, that's the devil. They worship the beast, that's the Antichrist. We worship the Father, and we worship the Son. All right? Because both claim deity. We worship both. Okay? So all the devil's doing is imitating. You worship the devil, you worship the one that the devil sent who is in the form of a man. So now they're worshiping the beast. Who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? Okay? Who is like him? Ain't nobody like the beast. Okay? They were given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. Okay. 42 months, that's half of the 7 years. 42 months is half of the 7 years. The agreement, and if I have time, I'll take you to it, in Daniel was for 7 years. When the world is in chaos, like Hitler, the Antichrist is going to arise and he is going to bring peace. He's going to bring order. He's going to bring calm for 3.5 years. But in the middle of this 3.5 years, it's called the abomination desolation. In the middle of this 3.5 years, everything changes. Okay? He's now solidified the world. He's brought calm. He's brought order. Everybody, you know, is believing in him. He's been raised from the dead. Everybody's worshiping him, you know. So now he's owning the whole world. Okay? So at this point, it says it was given to him for 42 months. And he opened up his mouth in blasphemies against God. Verse 6 says, to blaspheme his name and tabernacle, that is, those who dwell on earth. So now he is speaking against God and anybody who's speaking for God. Okay? Now this brings into, I'm sure when you get some of the special instruction you'll get next week, you'll understand about 144,000, and that's not 144,000 people going to heaven. Okay, so I know you've heard some of that from the Jehovah Witnesses. No, because if only 144,000 people going to heaven, nobody in this room getting there. All right? Because there's sure been a lot more than 144,000 people saved since Jesus rose from the dead, okay? No, those are 144,000 evangelists who are winning people to Christ during the tribulation period, okay? So that's get that straight, okay? Okay. And it was also given him, verse 7, to make war with the saints. So you got saints in the tribulation period. Saints to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. So this is an international power, an international clout that will dominate the earth. The first half, he's Dr. Jekyll. The second half, he's Mr. Hyde. He looks like he's a friend to the world to bring order and peace when he's setting up the stage for this final attempt to bring God down and to bring Satan's kingdom up as he advances hell on earth through this agenda. Let me make another observation here, which you all are familiar with, still in Revelation 13, verse 17. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Pay attention. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man. In his number is 666. Okay? 666. Man was created on the sixth day. Number of man. 666 is a triune use of the same number. 666. Man, man, man. Okay? So you got man, man, man. Okay? So you have a trinity, because the numbers are made up the same, 666. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that's the trinity of deity. 666 is a trinity of humanity wanting to be deity. Nobody can buy or sell unless they got vaccinated. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying. What I am telling you, I'm telling you now. I'm telling you now. I'm not making a negative thing against vaccination. I want to make a bigger point. You must keep an eye when a demand is being made worldwide. I mean, I got vaccinated as a kid and all that. What, when you begin to see that, you need to keep an eye on it. Because 666, this is a worldwide thing. Nobody is buying and selling. If you don't have that number, you don't eat. Okay? You don't do business. Now, this is one of the reasons why the centralization of the economic order is the economics of the Antichrist. The beautiful thing about America is the freedom of trade. But once you have the centralization of the economic order, so when you are forced into that, because this is forced, it's not voluntary. When you're forced into that, you're being forced into an Antichrist-type system, okay? That is why communism has to get rid of God. And this is why socialism either has to get rid of God or marginalize God. Because once you bring God into it, you bring freedom into it. Once you bring freedom into it, you take away control. Well, centralization of government is control. And that is what the Antichrist does. He brings about total control, okay? So I'm just saying we just have to be aware, because now they can put chips in you. They can put chips in you that can read now instead of credit cards. That they're now experimenting with chips so that you don't need a credit card anymore. All of the technology, while it's valuable, is also useful for the Antichrist. So all I'm just saying is you just need to be aware, okay, and to be cognizant of that the Bible has already taken this. So 666 is equal to 777. Seven in the Bible is the number of perfection or completion. Okay? So 777 is deity. 666 is man. So you either have to have the name of the beast or you got to have 666. You've got to agree to the deity of man. That's what they did at the Tower of Babel. They put humanism or homocracy over theocracy. The deity of man. We will build a temple and it will reach to the heavens. Okay, so he is ruling and he's calling for international worship. Okay, next, he has a companion. He got a homeboy. Okay, verse 11 of Revelation 13. Then I saw another beast. Okay, so we got one beast, the Antichrist, but now we got another beast. I saw another beast coming up from the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. A lamb is humble and meek, and he talking so sweet, but he got hell coming out of his mouth. Because remember, the dragon is the devil, okay? He exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Oh, now we got the unholy trinity, because we got the dragon, the first beast, and the second beast. The dragon sends the first beast. The first beast brings worship to the dragon. The second beast brings worship to the first beast. So the second beast brings worship to the first beast. The first beast brings worship to the dragon, which is the devil. Jesus brings worship to the Father, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to glorify the Son. So the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. Jesus exalts the Father. The first beast exalts the devil. The second beast exalts the first beast. What he's doing is he is imitating the triune God. Okay, after thing, he's imitating the triune God. So he comes, this second beast. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. He's putting on a public show. It's the 4th of July. I mean, he's got fire coming down out of heaven. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who had the wounds of the sword and has come to life. So the second beast is now making an image of the first beast, okay? So you now worshiping this image. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do worship the image of the beast to be those to cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Well, how are you not going to worship a statue that's talking? He's going to make the statue come to life. How are you not going to believe that? Because the deception is so strong and so real, this got to be true if it's doing that. It's got to be true. So now to reject it, your life is on the line now. He says, because to be killed. And this second beast, also known as the false prophet, he will support and empower the first beast, all to promote the agenda of Satan. All this will come to an end. You'll hear about this through a special presentation you'll hear next week. I don't want to get too far into it, but chapter 19 talks about when the show is over. Verse 11. And I saw heaven open. Hello. And behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire. His head has many crowns, many diadems. And he has a name written on it that no one knows except himself. He's clothed in a robe, dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, and with it he strikes down the nations. So I don't get too far into it. Let's look at verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their names assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Okay? That's you and me. So when Jesus comes back, which means we weren't in the tribulation because we're coming back with him. So when Jesus comes back, his army is coming with him. Okay? So his army comes with him. And when his army comes with him, he who settles all with his army. Verse 20. And the beast was seized. And with him, the false prophet. That's the second beast. Who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped the image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which came from his mouth, mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with flesh. So this brings in the battle of Armageddon, the destruction of all who joined the beast, and the judgment of the beast leading into the week after the next, which is the millennium. So, I want to give you a few lessons from this summary of the rise of the Antichrist. A few takeaways that I want you to consider as we think about what we've learned here. Number one, just because it is a miracle doesn't mean it's from God. Okay, so let's start with that one. Just because it's a miracle does not mean it's God's miracle. I will refer you to Genesis chapter 7, verses 8 to 13. Aaron threw down the staff and it became a snake. Miracle. Pharaoh told his magicians to throw down their staff, and theirs became a snake too. Because the devil can imitate God. So just because it looks like it's authentic, it has to be validated by the truth. Not just because you can't explain it and it look real. Okay? All right. It's because we saw in 2 Thessalonians, he will come with great miraculous deception. Chapter 2, verse 9. So just because it's a miracle doesn't mean it's from God. Secondly, objective truth must take precedence over experience. I know you know your truth because you have experiences. I have experiences. But objective truth must trump personal experience. In other words, if something happens to you and God says something different, you must judge what happened to you by what God says and not judge what God says by what happened to you. That does not mean it didn't happen to you. It just means the full meaning of what happened to you must be determined by what God says, not just by what happened to you, okay? When Satan tempted Eve in Genesis 3:1-6, he gave her an experience with the tree. He says, when she saw that the tree was good for food, it was desirous to make one wise, it was a delight to the eyes, the tree gave her an experience. But the experience led her away from the truth. She felt that tree, saw that tree, liked that tree, but it took her from the truth. And when it took her from the truth, when she let her experience take her from the truth, it created disaster. So while experiences are real, the tree was good. The tree would make you wise. See, all that was a fact. Okay. You can have a fact and miss the truth. Okay? Fact. Fact is, I have a headache. I have a headache. I know if I have a headache, that's my experience. If my head is hurting, I have a headache. I go to Walgreens, I get some Excedrin PM, and I take it because I know my truth. I know if I have a headache. So I take the aspirin, but my headache doesn't go away. I go to the doctor because my headache won't go away. He does a scan of my head, and I have a brain tumor. I had the facts, but I didn't know the truth. The fact was real, but it wasn't the truth. In other words, it wasn't the source. God must be the source that defines truth, not experience. The experience may be real, but it may not be the truth. Okay? So you have to be able to make that distinction because Satan will throw out facts like signs and wonders and make you think it's the truth. Next. Satan always looks like the real thing at first. I want to read 2 Corinthians 11. There's probably not too many people here who have not, who's ever been duped by the devil? Tell the truth, shame the shame. Come on. Tell the truth, shame the shame. And if you left your hand down, you just got duped. Okay? 2 Corinthians 11. Here's what he says in verse 3. But I am afraid, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Now go up to verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. He says, Satan disguises himself, and so does his people. Well, a disguise means to put on a different look than you really are. So if you're looking for somebody in a red jumpsuit, horns, and a pitchfork, you're not looking for the devil because that's not a disguise. That's what you expect. He says, no, he and his followers disguised themselves. David Koresh disguised himself. And so that's why you have to have a standard of truth so that what looks real is evaluated before you determine that it is real. Next, the further you are from God and his truth, the more open you are to deception. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, First Timothy chapter 4, but the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons being taught by the devil, by means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. So they don't even feel truth anymore. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. So there is an asceticism, a denial that God doesn't agree with, where people deny themselves of things that God says is okay. So to tell priests they can't marry, the Bible says that that's a doctrine of demons. He says forbidding marriage. That's a doctrine of demons. So see, that's why you've got to be committed to truth. Verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if you can thank God for it. That is legitimate to thank God for it. It's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Again, he's talking about not being deceived by demonic teaching. Next. Satan is always out for your destruction. Remember, the Antichrist is called the son of destruction. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's out to ruin us. And many of us can look at segments of our life that have been ruined by his deception. Okay? Finally, if you are wrong about Jesus, you're wrong, period. Okay? Let me look at 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. That's after 1 John. 2 John 1, 7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. When you reject Christ, you've joined the devil. Okay, look at 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming and now is already in the world. So he says two things about the Antichrist. It's coming and it's already here. Because there is the person of the Antichrist who's coming, but there is the spirit of the Antichrist that's already operating through every generation. So we must be people of the truth. You must not be ashamed to stand lovingly, caringly, responsibly, compassionately, but clearly for the truth. And what is the truth? God's view on any subject. That's the truth. God's view on any subject is the truth. And no matter how you think about it, how you were raised, what your mama taught you, what your daddy taught you, what your race says, if it disagrees with God, it's a lie. Because God is truth. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. Okay? And if we are going to be people of the truth, based on the word of God and bringing things into alignment with the truth, confessing when we have failed the truth, repentance, so we're back in line with the truth, then the presence and power of God becomes our experience. Amen? Okay. Let's stand to our feet. Now let me give you closing instructions. Number one, we have a number of books in the bookstore. I think they have some more copies of the prophecy book, The Best Is Yet to Come. My new book on the government is there, Kingdom Politics, Returning God to Government, because God says the truth about what politics ought to do. And there's a book that deals with the truth called Kingdom Virtue. So those are in the bookstore. It's number one. Two, we need 40 men, 40 godly men, 40 men of the truth to go to that table and volunteer to help out our ladies for the ladies' conference. Now you have to meet 5 new people before you can go home. Okay, you cannot pick up your kids before 8:30, but you got to pick them up by 9. So go get some catfish, get some barbecue, get some ice cream, but you got to meet 5 people. Now let's define meet. Don't mean say hi. You got to find out something about them. Where are you from? Tell me about your family. You got to meet 5 people, because Wednesday in the summer is for connectivity, as we learn. So you can't leave before 8:30, and you got to meet 5 people. So let's see it. Don't forget to go online, couples. Sign up for the prom night, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord. Father, give us a great time in you. Bless the food and the fellowship and the fun. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen.